Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
All In with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody. Scott Patterson, I Am All In podcast, 111 Productions, 111 podcast, 111 Media, iHeartRadio podcast, and media. I'm joined by my intrepid crew, Suzanne French, Daniel Romo, Tara Sood, and the inimitable, inevitable Amy Sugarman. You know her, you love her. She's here.
Well, they don't, but they here do. Is my question for you guys.
Yes.
Everybody go around and try to say the title of this episode.
It's wonderful, marvelous.
I tried last night.
Do it, Tara.
Wonderful, it's marvelous. Episode 4. What's it called?
It's wonderful, marvelous.
It's wonderful, it's marvelous.
Suzanne, your turn.
It's wonderful, marvelous.
You nailed that. One word. Whoa, it's one word. So
I can't really do it unless the song. It's wonderful, it's marvelous. Because really, it's right. It's, but it cuts off the it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a song?
Yeah. It's one. Tara.
Did you watch the episode, Tara?
Honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I had to rewind this episode a couple times.
Right.
What? I actually loved it. Okay.
So you know what thought, the predominant thought that I had during this episode is interesting to me in that I asked myself a question.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be like so hypercritical.
Okay.
All the time, season 7. I'm trying to look for the positive here.
Sure.
And I thought, what if this was, because I'm watching it and it's all kind of like there's delightful people and delightful situations. There's no reason to hate anybody. If this is season 1.
Great question.
There's kind of a world where, you know, maybe last night's episode that we watched was the pilot episode.
Yeah.
And we're just sort of, or one of the few episodes, is first few episodes, and we're just starting this whole
journey
off. That's
a great question.
We don't hate Christopher. We don't hate April. And it's all just kind of a delightful show. Could the show have worked if it were launched like this, and it wasn't all a high school-y mommy daughter thing, and it was more about the town as a whole, because I got to tell you, they had some pretty cool scenes.
Yeah. What is your take?
I don't know. I think maybe it could have worked on it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think the concept is so strong of with the Gilmore dynasty and then the small town. And then, you know, you can peel back the layers in flashback, right?
Sure.
Of when the breakup happened with Lorelai and the family and having the baby going through. It's like a different type of storytelling where you're looking back all the time.
Not linear, right? You're going all out of order.
Right. So, because you're going to have to tell those stories so people understand the first season.
Who the heck are these people?
Right. So, like, you reestablish that Christopher and Lorelai are in this thing, and this is their daughter, and you don't know that much about the past, and then you start learning stuff about
right. You wonder why she doesn't ever talk to that guy at the diner.
Right. Right.
Wait, so here's what I want to know. What does Suzanne think of that?
Of Scott's?
Of this? Do you think you could have enjoyed this if this was season one?
If the storytelling were told in flashbacks and season seven was season one with some tweaks, obviously you'd have to make some tweaks.
Right.
Seven, because it's giving too much away. Right. So, or not enough in certain circumstances.
I mean, I think it's an interesting concept. I think that would be fun to watch. Sometimes getting too flashbacky gets confusing. But I would watch that.
Like, is your question, Scott, and if I'm understanding, would we all love season seven if we never had season 1 to 6?
That's one question. Another question, would the fans or we love the show as much as we do had we followed the Scott Patterson method? If they executed in it that way.
Well, I have another question for you all before we get going. I thought about this long and hard in the shower, which is why my hair is still wet and I never got time to blow it dry. What I have come to terms with, because I once again like this episode, there's critiques, but for the most part, I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's a little weird in places and kind of off, but I love it. Mm-hmm. So I've decided maybe I like the idea of wanting Luke and Lorelai to be together. So there's some kind of joy I experience watching this show, knowing, I hope they get back together. I hope they get back together. Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's so, and that was something I loved, that feeling in seasons 1 to 5, let's say. So now maybe one of the reasons I'm sort of enjoying it is because I'm back going, even though I know what happens, I hope they get back together. I hope things are good. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, is he going to call Lorelai? Like I'm feeling that again. I don't know.
Yeah. In this episode, I kept stressing out that Luke was going to run into Christopher and Lorelai.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Is Luke at the drive-in? Is he the only other car there?
He opens the barn door at the wrong moment.
I did have that same like feeling.
I'm like, oh no, oh no, is Luke coming?
I thought the same thing. Wait, so Suzanne, do you hate this episode or like it?
I thought it was more tolerable than the last three. How's that? I didn't love it. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to watch this again. But it was good to finally see Rory back at school and having something to do, because the last three episodes, her wandering around like,
what do I do all day?
I don't know how to have a conversation. Right. I don't know how to text. I don't know how to like, just that whole, like the summertime part of it where she just was all confused by what does the rocket mean? Like that just was dragging.
Right.
It was good to see her back at school. She's back in the newsroom.
Kristen Ritter was great.
Kristen Ritter was great. Although was great. I like the actresses, but I don't like those characters.
Okay, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Same.
Especially in this episode, I think they actually get better later. But in this episode where they're like going through Logan's apartment and
I kind of love it.
Yeah, I was like holding are these girls going to like shoplift from
That's
Logan's
totally
apartment?
What college kids do though, you guys. You go into the apartment, you're like, oh my God, you have this? Oh my God, you have this? Can I make some popcorn? Like you kind of like
with
that.
Your friends, yeah, but not somebody you just met an hour ago. I don't know. But true, we're going all out of order.
People. Yeah. Well, anyway, so here's my thought, Scott.
Mm.
What if we let the queen go through the scenes, like introduce the scenes for us today? Rather than you, rather than me, we let Suzanne do it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Suzanne, you can. You got this.
Okay.
You got this, soul sister. You got it. Yeah, take it.
She can also give her little expertise as she's doing it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She said, pause, let me get some caffeine.
Yeah, let me like that Diet Coke.
Recaffeinate myself here. My morning dose is wearing off.
And then you and I can just be snarky and it'll be great.
Yeah.
I enjoy snark. I really
I've got some snark, but
I've got my camo on. I'm taking my position up a tree.
I don't hate Christopher in this episode.
Oh, see. That's where I disagree.
We're going to talk about it all.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there is a scene in particular that actually brought me great joy that Lorelai and Christopher were in it together. I'll save it. I'll tell you.
And now the stage is Suzanne French, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we have Danielle do the synopsis?
Fair. Yes. Good idea. Look at the queen.
Yes. Spreading her. Taking charge. That's
spreading
how you
things
do it.
To her peasants.
Let's start and issue orders, mandates. Boom.
All right. This is season 7, episode 4, As Wonderful as Marvelous. Air date October 17th, 2006. Lorelai and Christopher have resumed their relationship, but with caution.
Oh boy,
he continues to woo her with romantic deeds. Rory returns to Yale and meets some new friends, and Emily ends up somewhere we thought she would never be. Plus, Luke and April's relationship continues to blossom as she stays with him for a few weeks.
Okay, cool. So the episode opens with Lorelai and Christopher coming back from seeing the movie Snakes on a Plane. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I thought Lorelai
was not good.
Like, she was like weirdly hyper and
it was so
high pitched and it seemed forced and like she was trying too hard and she keeps repeating Snakes on a Plane.
It was not good. It was not good.
Yeah.
So, but once again, we have an open that was not good. Forced, hashtag trying too hard. Oh, people drink. Everybody drink when I say hashtag because then you listening, you hate it. So drink. Hashtag trying too hard.
And yeah, then I think that's, you know, there's no Amy and there's no Dan anymore. Yeah, so
just the acting felt different. Like, I don't know if that was intentional on Lauren's part or if she was given that note from somebody to be like that, but it was through the whole episode she was just this it just was like her voice was up higher and
I didn't know.
Oh yeah,
that.
You're right, that happens
they
later, but when
have
they
no
they go in the car.
Chemistry.
Oh,
it's
interesting.
Palpable.
It feels forced to me.
It feels very forced. And that's
forced.
Not good.
Me too. I thought it was something different, Scott. As an actor, here's what I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
It's season 7. Mm-hmm. Lauren's an executive producer on this show. She knows that like the showrunners that she has loved and leaned on for 6 years are gone. Is it possible she's putting so much pressure on herself to like nail these scenes and make A- script into an A+ script that she is just overcompensating everywhere?
I mean, maybe. I don't really know the answer to that. I don't know how involved she was. I mean, I can only imagine as an executive producer. Was that the title that they gave her?
I thought, but I might be making that up.
Later. Yeah, not in this episode.
Right, yeah. So I don't know. I know that you know, her work schedule is just huge, right?
Yeah.
It's wall to wall every day. And I have 7 years of that. And it's just, it's tough to stay up. So maybe it was just a case of like too much caffeinated beverages.
Yeah.
And
who knows? I mean, but yeah. It just something seemed off between the two of them. And for me, it always kind of seems
was bad
off.
Jokes too. Like, slicks on a plate, slicks on a plate, slicks on a plate, slicks on. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, that's not even a good joke.
She was, I feel like it might have been like, obviously I can't speak for Lauren, but I feel like it was an intentional choice on her part because she is trying to communicate with her body language and her speech patterns that this isn't right, that this is awkward. And
yeah, I think that's a good point because at the end she talks about how she doesn't trust them yet. And right. So I think she's not comfortable. And you know, she's not.
But
she's
I think that's very risky. It's gotta be in the writing.
I think so too. You know what
right. I mean? I think to put that on an actor is
a lot.
You know, but one thing I noticed too, and this is from the last episode, but I wasn't here, so I didn't get to point it out in the last episode. The very, very end of the episode where she's in her bedroom and she picks up the phone and calls and she says, hello.
Yes. Chris. Yes. Mm-hmm.
She had to force that out. Like, she did not communicate that she was happy about calling Chris. She, if you go back and watch the end of that scene, like, it's her face is not happy. She's not smiling. She's like trying to think, should I do it? Should I do it?
And then I agree. She felt conflicted.
Like, she doesn't act like she's happy to be calling him.
I think she was conflicted about calling him.
Yeah.
Almost like.
It's like leaving the door open for Luke.
I've been through so much. I need like some serotonin. So I'm going to call this guy. Is that the right?
Yeah. I also think we all can agree that it's not her number one choice. No. Like, she doesn't want to be here.
Right.
Like, she just is resorting to what she chose. Like,
yes,
she made that decision.
Right. She's like, well, okay, I did this and now I have to stick with it, even though like it's just kind of, she's just defaulting to him instead of.
I was going to say she's kind of a serial dater. Like, is she ever alone?
She can't be alone. And she's just dipping back into the well. It's a tale as old as time, guys. When you get dumped, then you go over to your ex-boyfriends and you sleep with them. And then you're like, go home and cry. And then you're like, oh no, I'm still dumped. Let me try a few more times with that guy. I'm going to dip back into the well and see if it can make me happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it's a tale as old as time.
I do have one thing I wrote in my notes about this scene before we move on. And I actually noticed it in the episode where she did the Asian night and she made the dessert sushi.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't know if this is like a jump the shark kind of moment or if it's just like a milestone that shows she's changed, but somehow she has changed from Red Vines to Twizzlers.
Oh no, this one. Okay.
And that's
I'm
a very
so happy you bring
thing.
This
Did
up.
You notice that?
That okay. is a
Twizzlers are better,
thing.
By the
yes.
way.
Yes.
Twizzlers are way better. No, they
Twizzlers
are.
Are
they're way
disgusting
better.
Disgusting compared to Twizzlers.
What are you? That's 60s and 70s, babe. That's not. Red Vines are later.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's what I read somewhere. I did like, you know, a deep dive into this episode, and somebody said, now I don't know if this is true or not, so allegedly, Amy and Dan were into Twizzlers or vice versa. What was whichever?
It was Red Vines first.
Red Vines. Yeah.
And Dan is a Twizzlers guy, hence the switch. Is his name Dan, the new guy?
What?
Amy David. And Dan. Who's the new producer? David, the new EP?
David
Rosenthal.
Me. So Amy and Dan were.
He's a Twizzler. David Rosenthal is a Twizzler.
This is allegedly what the internet said.
That's it.
This is what this the is world a, wide
season
web
seven
said.
Is a Twizzler
ruin the whole season.
And Amy and Dan, because it's also a well known debate. Are you a Twizzlers person or a Red Vines person? So Amy and Dan were Red Vines people, and David is Twizzlers, and that's why the switch happened.
They broke. That's like it's cursed now. It's like now it was I understand. Like
we took
now,
over the. We took
well, it's
over
also very
seven.
East Coast, yeah. West Coast. So West Coast is more Red Vines, and East Coast is more Twizzlers.
Wait, but I'm a Twizzlers person through and through.
Well, it doesn't mean you can't get them here, but.
Well,
I love a
Twizzler.
The first time I had a Red Vines, I was confused. I didn't understand.
Oh my God. But Twizzlers are so gross compared to Red Vines.
Twizzlers are like plastic. They're like a weird texture.
Twizzlers are, yes, I agree, Suzanne. They're like,
yeah, gross. It's like gnawing on vinyl or something.
I think Red Vines are like chalk.
That's the satisfying part of
Twizzlers. Is this how like the debate when people can't taste cilantro?
People can't taste cilantro?
Yeah, like there is something
is
that
this
when
the debate about cilantro.
Like, no, but you know some people when they taste cilantro it tastes like soap to them. That's a thing.
Yeah, that is a thing.
I don't know, but if you offered me a Twizzler, I would say, "Oh, no thank you." But
okay,
if you offered me
here,
a red vine, I'd be like,
"To fancy Tara's To fancy Tara. Tara, do you like cilantro?
I do.
Scott, do you like cilantro? Suzanne and Amy, do you like cilantro?
I don't think it's anything. I think
I love cilantro. There's something here.
Maybe that is true.
I told you.
That's it.
It's something in people like cilantro.
So while we're on the topic.
I think they're lacking in taste buds. I think that
I
could
think
be
so. I agree. While we're on the topic of internet gossip, there is also some comments and stuff I found. If you will notice, David Sutcliffe is Anne's special guest star now. Now, allegedly, I don't know if this is true, but allegedly, they wanted him for 13 episodes, but the agreement was he had to be in the A storyline. That was part of the deal for him to come back to do 13 episodes. I don't know if it's true or not.
I mean, it would make sense, I think.
Because before, he was always much more of a B or a C bit player.
Yeah.
And now he is in the A storyline along with, I would say, Rory, Luke, Lorelai. Just saying, allegedly, I don't know if it's true.
Interesting. Okay, so then we go to Luke's diner, and Kirk is whining like a puppy dog because he's conflicted between his mom's opinion and Lulu's opinion, and he can't decide what to order, even though neither one of them is there to care what he orders.
The bagel, the like conflict with the bagel, and then he just gets the Caesar hands him the egg bagel or something.
Yeah, which I that was just a kind of a weird little conversation to me. But then the real point of that scene was for Anna to come in and you know, tell us all that April is going to be staying with Luke for 2 weeks while
and
she goes.
May I say, nobody has to like it. I'm not saying they're flirting, but Anna and Luke, or Sherilyn Fenn and Scott, do have a nice sort of chemistry.
Yep. Ain't gonna deny it.
She is very cute. Like, she is so cute.
She is cute.
Yeah. Yeah, when she's not screaming.
Correct.
Yeah.
She's pretty cute when she's doing that, too.
She's so a great actress. I loved her in everything I've seen.
She was great to work with. She's terrific.
She's great terrific. In the scene, and she's so, like, cool. And, like, I don't love her, but I sure liked her in that scene.
Yeah.
And I honestly, admittedly, I was a little starstruck working with her. I thought this is really cool. I'm working with Sherilyn Fenn.
Yeah, because that was like post Twin Peaks and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she was known.
I get that. I get that. There's she steals the scene. You really can't take your eyes off of her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was like, okay.
She was a delight. Absolute delight.
Yeah.
So then we go to the dragonfly. And there's gourds everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Suki invites Lorelai over to dinner, which then that's when we find out that Lorelai and Chris have now been dating for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Because that was when I skimmed through it the first time, I didn't pick up on that. And I was trying to figure out, wait, how long have they been dating
since she
picked up the phone and said, hello, Chris. And so now that's how they work that in. So 6 weeks, Lorelai and Christopher and Suki, understandably, is like, you know,
not loving it.
He's a rebound. You don't want to have the father of your child be your rebound. And,
right.
I thought in that scene, Suki best represented the fans and the entire fan base of Gilmore Nation.
Yeah.
With a cleaver in her hand.
Good point.
Like, you've got to be kidding me with this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So good.
But she's also trying to be a friend.
Also, right. Has to be a friend. Yeah. Good point. Yes. But and still, hey, you know, we need
and
to.
And I am an island that I was like, oh, it's kind of cute. He's calling her for a date. He's sort of cute. This is sort of cute. I'm alone in that, right?
You're alone in that.
You're alone.
Good
to know.
I mean, it was okay.
Just wonderful.
You know, asked.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Wonderful.
We'll send you a dinghy. Don't worry about it.
And then we go to the apartment where Rory is unpacking, and we see that ridiculous rocket again.
I know, she actually looked at it with disdain too.
She did. And then she called Logan. Thanks, she's like, here. Oh, I don't know how to leave a message on an answering machine. Like, just move on from that already. I found it so annoying. I like completely checked out.
Was that with her weird sidekick? And then she turned it into the phone, and then she just left the awkward message, like she's never barely met this guy before.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Oh, like I thought you would answer.
Right, they've been dating for years. Like,
they act like it's been 3 days.
Right, like she's like, yeah, that was annoying.
And then Richard calls.
This was cute.
So her phone rings, and she apparently thought it was Logan because she's like, oh my gosh, hi. And then,
I did too, though.
Well, but she would have.
They don't have caller ID back then.
Sidekicks, not.
No,
not
but on Sidekicks, you had your contact. So yeah, she would.
Right. Like, so wouldn't she have known? I don't know. Maybe it was like an unknown number. And so
she didn't look. Been
Logan and she didn't.
Maybe.
Sometimes I pick up and I don't look. It's possible.
Yeah. I mean, maybe
it's possible.
Never.
Maybe she thought he was calling right back or something.
Is it going to be annoying if throughout this whole episode I say possible instead of is.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah.
Okay. Remember when we had to talk with no E's or whatever?
Oh, and I do remember that.
Okay, go ahead.
So Richard is going to be lecturing in the economics department, and Emily's in the background screaming things at him, telling him what to say into the phone. And I thought it was interesting he called to see if she would be okay with it. Like,
I liked it. I thought it was nice. Yeah.
That was nice.
He's infiltrating her school. If my dad was going to be a law professor at my school, I'd want to know.
He's considering her feelings. Yeah, I mean, I would want to know,
but I mean, if she was bothered by it, she wouldn't have to tell anyone that was her grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Well, true, but like, what if her pals are in the class and they're like, "Are you related to my teacher?" But they all, like, I thought it was.
They all know because Richard and Emily are so involved with everyone's families. They would, they would definitely know. I feel like.
Plus, wouldn't they? Haven't they had some consecutive unsuccessful Friday night dinners that sort of turned into disasters, and it was maybe his way of reaching out and trying to normalize the relationship.
It also made me think of when, you know, they really wanted Rory to go to Yale and they were so pushy, and I think he maybe just wanted to, like, you know, just respect her boundaries.
Yeah. I also just love seeing Richard in this way. Like, he was really excited. I hated when he wasn't working. And then he got his job, or, you know, started working again, and that was amazing. But then I don't know. I like the concept that he's going to be a professor at Yale. Like, there's something fun about that.
It was cute how excited he was about it too.
I'm looking forward to more Rory and Richard at Yale scenes. Yeah, like I'm excited for hopefully that to come.
Right.
Did Ed Herman have a new mustache, or was there something about his look? He looked slightly different to me.
His hair was different.
Is that what it was?
I think he had a fresh haircut.
Okay.
Like off
he
to
looked
the
good,
side.
But it was just like, I was like, oh, does he have a new something?
Yeah. He had a floppier hairdo.
And I know we'll get into it, but Emily and Richard like stole this episode.
I totally agree, Tara. Yeah. Especially Emily.
Yeah. I had to say it now because I couldn't hold it in any longer.
Thank you. Because I totally agree. Okay. Keep going.
So now we cut back to the diner, and Luke is reading the list of what not to do.
Oh my God, that was funny.
No gouging, no stabbing. And then Miss Patty tells her funny story about the ballerinas. So then April comes in with her avocado pit.
Cute and a funny pit stop.
That was a funny little line. I thought this was cute. Like, I like seeing Luke doing the dad thing.
Agree.
So I
love how, like,
Luke and April. I've always thought that was cute.
He's like the least anxious person. And I love how overly anxious he is about being a dad.
Yeah.
Everything that is surrounding April, he's just like, versus.
He probably doesn't want to get in trouble with Anna.
I'm also happy that they're giving you Scott/Luke. Something to do. Like, now we've got some meat and something for you to do, and I'm really enjoying it. And I was happy about that storyline. Like, okay, good. I'm not just seeing you, like, weird around the diner.
Yeah, I think, you know, here we have two storylines that, as far as the fans are concerned, are like watching two horror shows because you've got Christopher and Lorelai together, which is a horror show for the fans. And then you've got April and Luke together, which is a double horror show. It's like a double feature of bad.
For me, for not a horror show. None of it.
Right. But this is not what the fans wanted to see. This is not how they wanted this to end up at all. And it's I just empathize with the fans because I know they're sitting there like I am like, what happened to this show? What the freak is going on here every week?
Do you enjoy your scenes as a viewer?
Like, they doubled down on the bad thing, yet they made it more pleasant to consume.
Yes, right?
But it's still, like, you know, full of chemicals, and you should.
So when you're watching yourself with Vanessa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to, like, sort of have some joy in the cuteness of those scenes, like I did? And I don't want to speak for the group.
I always said that I thought it added a really necessary dimension to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they made that relationship drive a wedge between mm-hmm. Luke and Lorelai, I think was maybe not the smartest.
Yeah, thing. Well said. That I agree. I would have liked those scenes more if I knew Lorelai was going to be over in a minute
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and all is yeah. good in Stars Hollow.
Right.
Yeah. Fair.
In, kind of in retrospect, I enjoy that relationship because when there was a scene where Luke and Lorelai, when he was buying the Twickham house and they talked about kids and they both wanted to have kids. And then now they're broken up. And so mm-hmm. we're thinking, okay, I'm never going to get to see Luke and Lorelai having kids. So this is going to be mm. my chance to see Luke as a dad. And mm. that relationship for me did not disappoint. I thought it was fun to see Luke as a dad because now I'm seeing that, well, Lorelai's not in his picture anymore. So I'm not going to get that kind of a parenting situation, so this is going to be what I get, and so I thought it was enjoyable.
Darling and quite like yeah. She's a good actress, like even when she's finding her place for the pit, I was sort of like yeah. all right, yeah, that's the way cute. To go.
She was the real deal from the first rehearsal.
Yeah.
The very first rehearsal, she was the real deal. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she kind of seems like that, like having met her when we did the podcast event. Like she and I had a delightful conversation. Like she was just the nicest person to stay.
Vanessa's awesome.
So you can see that, like as a child, she would have been like she's like April, like precocious and prepared, mm-hmm. and you know.
And she was such a fan of the show, which is what makes it so much cooler too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name is Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vanessa and Laura are both like really cool, awesome people. Like they're really sweet, talented, nice mm-hmm. people. I could see why even then, Scott, you knew like, hey, this girl's talented.
Top notch.
Yeah.
Top notch through and through, quality players, top of their game, pleasure to work with. So it's super professional.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they could have easily become series regulars.
Did Vanessa do Switched at Birth or did Laura?
Why it was Vanessa.
Okay.
Laura did Austin and Allie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Thank you.
That was actually one of the things that Vanessa and I were laughing about at the podcast event, because there was that charity event that we were at a few years ago, and I can't remember. Gilles Marini was there.
Oh, we like Gilles. He was on Switched at Birth.
Yeah, and so we were laughing afterwards about how one of Vanessa Morano's dads introduced me to another one of Vanessa.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's very funny.
That's cute.
That's very funny. That's right. He was her birth dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a good show.
It was a really good
show.
That
was a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the scene in the diner then leads into them walking into Luke's apartment. He shows her around. Mm-hmm. She's looking for a place to put her avocado pit. That was actually my favorite line was in that scene when Luke says something like, you know, there'll be more light in the morning. And then
Oh my God, this was my favorite line too.
Will it be less brown in the morning?
This is literally my favorite line. I wrote the same thing down.
Right.
I thought that was good.
I love the Target. Oh, I've never been to Target or Target.
Okay, but Luke has never been to Target. Like,
I believe it because, like, when you explain where they live, you got to drive all the way to go to, like.
Well, he sure has been to a Ralph's. So
it's true. They do have a rando Ralph's.
That's true.
You know what I liked is
more like a local shopping kind of person. Like he might not want to go to the big box national chain kind of place.
He goes to Dozy's.
Exactly. The thing that I like about the scenes with April, and hopefully I'm saying this properly, you do feel like her dad, but you do feel like a new dad. Do you know what I'm saying? Like the scenes are played like it's not like. It just feels like, yeah, this is exactly how it would be. They're getting super close. It's not quite to the level of like me and my dad. Do you know what I mean? But like it all was good. I didn't really have any criticism.
He's a giver, you know? I mean, he was a little bit of a different guy, but very similar with Jess than he is with his own daughter. You know? He's a giver. He's giving. He's gonna err on the side of excess service that he's providing, you know, and care
and parental. He's very parental,
right? And both of them said, you know, Luke, that you're overdoing it. That's enough. I don't need all that.
I'm glad you brought up Jess, because that I do think Jess gave you sort of a lot of training as a father figure to slip into this role quite comfortably. Yeah,
and he was quite appropriately stern with Jess and gave him real boundaries for probably the first time in his life. And you know, he's in deeper waters with his own daughter, because she's obviously precocious and you know, she's very, very independent and she's self-sufficient for the most part. And
she's coming to him younger, I think,
gonna end up looking after him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Giving him life advice.
Like Jess came to live with Luke and he was probably 16, if not 17.
Yeah.
And April is only 13. So there is like a big difference there too.
Yeah.
Anyway, it really
illustrates how this massive gap between the young boys and girls, how much more advanced girls are.
Well, she's also like a genius child.
But so. I understand. But across the board, I think that's what I'm finding also with my son's school and his experiences.
Oh, I think you're right. And I noticed like my 6-year-old niece, the way she talks compared to 6-year-old boy is like, whoa.
That's so true.
What the heck?
It's so true. They're just on it, you know? It's like, geez.
Oh, anyway.
Okay, so then we go to the newsroom. Rory's back in her element. She's handing out assignments. I was confused at first as to why Doyle was at Harvard, and then I backed it up and realized she was saying Hartford.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He graduated, that too. Right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he graduated.
Like, wait, the same age as Logan. Like,
what is he doing at Harvard? And then I realized, wait, no, that's Hartford, because he graduated. Mm-hmm. He's got a job as a fact checker. Paris is trying to convince everyone that, you know, yeah, she's beloved.
Yeah. This is actually my favorite scene in this entire episode, because it's the only time that a day player lowered the boom on anybody in any of these episodes that was in the regular cast.
Like, because you mean Doyle?
No. She's Paris.
Oh, Paris. Oh, now, sorry.
That girl that was standing up just leveled her. Like, called
that
her,
actually,
like,
is such a great point.
And she just said, she expressed what I fully believe, like, listen to this lunatic, you know. And she was snarky and sarcastic and just, you know, just owned her, basically owned her with a couple of lines. So I thought, boy, that's interesting to do that to Paris's character with a day player.
And that is a great call.
I loved it. Point, yeah. I loved it. Yeah.
And so Rory is stuck covering the art show because the guy that she assigned it to had some sort of a personal issue with that. Okay, so that set up that scene. And then Lorelai's house, so she's trying to decide what to wear. Oh no, she's already wearing the black dress, but she doesn't know what this date is going to be. So she's like,
got the cardigan, necklace number two, the sandals.
Flip flop. That was cute. That was.
Can I ask you guys something? Did this come off, this scene come off as cringy in the foyer?
I wasn't a fan.
You know what cringe to me was right after, as they were getting into the car. What is this date? Oh, is this the part of the date that I'm supposed to be excited about? What about this part? What about that part?
Yes.
You know,
like, that was so annoying. Is this a special thing?
Am I not right?
No, stop.
My hashtag trying too hard.
Do we all feel, and Amy, you don't have to respond. We know what you feel. But guys, are these the most awkward and cringy scenes?
This is why I had a hard time with the episode. Is it specifically was the Lorelai Chris scenes? Like, if I could have just removed all of the, like, this storyline and these scenes, I would have liked the episode. But it was just so hard for me to watch. Like, I wasn't like a big fan of Chris before. I didn't mind him if he came around, he bugged me. But like this season, he bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
now he's a rich guy, so he can do all this fancy stuff,
right? Like, he shows up Mustang out of nowhere, like,
right.
Danielle, hate him for who he is, but he put together a good date. You gotta give it to him.
That was a creative idea, sure.
But that's the thing,
big picture.
That's the thing that you allow Luke to do, because Luke earned that, right? That's the comeback.
But he did it. Christopher.
I think a bad choice.
Possibly, but it's the choice we're given. So
I think that's a far more romantic scene if Luke does that to get her back.
Oh, okay.
Because it's so outside of his.
We'll wait to see what happens.
I will say, I find it, when I was watching the episode, I did find it interesting. The dates that Lorelai is going on with Christopher versus the ones with Luke. Like, if you think about the ones with Luke, the one that comes to mind is at his house, he's cooking her a very fancy schmancy meal, but it's still at his house, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's shown, I don't know. I think it's showing, like, Christopher is the
experience guy.
I have the beautiful red car, and I open up the glove compartment, you'll find candy, and blah blah blah, you'll find popcorn, you know, all that stuff. And versus Luke was more just like humble, like, come to my house, I'm gonna cook you a amazing dinner, you know. It's I don't know,
that Christopher move was, it was more like he was taking himself out on a date. You know,
I disagree. I thought it was a lovely date.
He wanted all of these compliments, you know, coming back to him. And it was just kind of manipulative. And I rented this cool car.
I think he was like, I want Lorelai so bad, I'm going to sweep her off her feet. What is it that Lorelai can't deny? And
they've gone to five bad movies. They have the whole bit, which I admit was forced, about how like all the movies, maybe it's us. So he, like, it was very a cool date. Like it doesn't mean that I don't want like Luke
it.
More.
It's the wrong person in the car. I agree. We don't like it.
I wish it was Luke.
The wrong person, but it's the person we have right now.
It is the perfect date with the most wrong person.
Guys,
so, like, that is the whole point.
I actually agree with you. Like, you wish that this was Luke because it's so romantic, perfect. But you don't want that guy there.
That's what makes it so wrong. It's not so wrong that it's right. It's so wrong that it's way wrong.
Yeah. It is a very Lorelai kind of date. Like, it's perfect for her.
It's a perfect date.
But it's with the wrong person. Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. It's the perfect date with the guy she's trying to make the guy. She is trying very hard to really make Christopher the guy.
I can't wait to see what happens. I don't even want to know how he's going to screw
bad before it gets better. But
I mean, actually, I agree with your last, what you just said, Amy. She's trying really hard to make Christopher the guy. But if he really is the guy, she wouldn't have to try so hard.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And that's what we're missing. I totally agree with you. The way that Luke and Lorelai just so easily fold into each other.
Yeah.
And work off of each other and bounce off of each other.
There is something about their chemistry. I'm not saying they have no chemistry, but they're trying too hard. The chemistry is a little off, even when they're in the car at the date.
Like, you mean it's like a little non-existent.
And you know what? I will say it's on Lorelai's end.
There was a little chemistry. You go.
No, that was the side of the barn. That's what you were talking about.
When I see it, I'll tell you.
And that was the wood that had that effect on you.
I feel like it was all wrong on Lorelai's end. Like, she's the one that made those scenes awkward in the sense of like, oh, is this a special thing? I don't know. Right, I don't know if that was intentional. I feel that Lorelai's character made those scenes very weird.
I felt sorry for her because she's trying to make the best of a situation that she probably feels deep down has no chance and feels wrong.
Yeah.
And she's being her most optimistic self and she's being brave about it. And she feels hurt by Luke and
that's
shunned by Luke.
A good point.
And I think it kills me to see it as a fan of the show, not just being part of it, but it's like, this girl's really brave and she's really trying to make a life for herself. And this is just a desperate attempt and it's not working. Nobody's feeling
it. That's such a good point because Christopher is so in and he's saying he loves her and he's just being him. Whether you hate him or love him, he's just being Christopher. And Lorelai is trying hard to make that work.
That is not that is not the type of person that Lorelai really likes. You know?
No, and she made this decision and she's like, well, I'm just trying to make the best
the
of what I have.
It is is the person she's supposed to.
Right now, in my opinion, just my opinion. She's sort of liking that she's trying to like Rory's dad. There is always something. And the fact that Rory is sort of, you're dating my dad. Like, it's not horrible. Is it Luke? No. Is it her soulmate? No. It's all sort of like, you always want your parents to be back together. And I think Lorelai is feeling too. Like, I want... to like him, even though we know deep down it's not right, but she wants to like him.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If
you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are three moments where I think there's chemistry. Two. One is when they're at the door and she does invite him in. The other time that I really had joy, and I know we're not quite there yet, is the fact that Christopher was there and she even acknowledges it for Emily to get arrested.
But you know what's weird about that scene is Christopher, I think, didn't really want, like, he was just like, oh, your mom overshadowed my date.
Right.
You know? That was so annoying. Yeah, that was annoying.
That was his big concern. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was annoying. That was annoying.
I kind of understand that. We're not in high school. Like, come on. Right. Like she felt very high school in that scene.
Right.
I think that's like we've talked about before, is that when she's around Christopher, she regresses. And so she is very high school-y. And, you know, when she's running around in that high pitched voice going, is this a special thing? Is this a special thing? She sounds like a seventh grader. Like that's what the issue is that she literally is reverting back to what they had gazillions of years ago.
Right.
That's all they had. Yeah. They don't have it now.
They're here.
What they had then.
She's a far more complex adult. He seems to have not grown terribly much over the years. And she finds herself in a situation that is perfect for her with the wrong guy that she's trying to make the right guy, who's trying to get some that night, and she doesn't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's using this like, I really like this right now, and I don't want to disturb it, instead of going with it. Because he's just too, he's got no game.
He's just too available. And he's so insecure.
He's like a puppy dog. Yeah. Like,
what do you say? He's
trying
desperate?
To sink his hooks into her.
Oh, God, yes.
I don't agree with any of it, but I'm just going to zip it. I think he really just wants to be with Lorelai. Like, I actually do think, I think Lorelai is the one that's desperate, if I'm being honest. Like, I think she's the one that's trying so hard to make something work. And Christopher actually does want to be with her.
Yeah.
No, I think, what we mean by Christopher being desperate, he's desperate for her. She's not desperate to hang on to her. He's desperate to hang on. Okay. She's not desperate to nail him down.
She's just desperate to be in a relationship.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. We're all
same.
I mean, I'm not saying exactly the same thing. I'm saying I'm not that mad watching this right now. I'm sort of enjoying it. I think they have a little bit of chemistry. I love the car ride. I love the movie, even though I think they were awkward and I was very nervous that all that popcorn must have been spilling in his center console.
And cold.
Yeah, and totally kind of cold.
I was thinking they must have been driving for a long time because it was daylight when he picked her up.
And where
and
are
the
they?
Nighttime when they got to the barn. So they must have been driving for a while. So I don't know how he kept the popcorn hot. But
okay. I did love him in the scenes with Emily. Sorry, I do.
Yeah. So, all right. So Luke and April go to Target. They buy everything that's cerulean. April doesn't like olive.
Cerulean.
The conversation where she's trying to play up her science teacher to Luke so that they can have this romantic.
That was cute.
It was cute, but it was a little
weird.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, Luke is trying to, you know, reassure her that she doesn't need to take care of him. He's going to take care of her.
Right. This plays into her taking care of her own dad.
Right. Know? Right.
Being a great kid. Just being a great kid.
Felt weird to me that they were talking about this failed relationship because she played a role in that failed relationship, even though it wasn't her fault and she didn't know it. I'm not blaming her at all. But I don't know. The whole thing just felt like, oh, that's right, they're not together anymore. Like I was just kind of sad. It was a good father-daughter moment.
Right. But it did show that he just wasn't interested in anybody else.
Yeah. Know?
And that doesn't necessarily mean he's pining away for Lorelai, but I think he is in silence again.
Well, it is too soon.
I think it's too soon for him to pine.
It's too soon, frankly, for either of them to be dating.
I think there's that weird stage of numbness when you break up like that, where it's just like, you know, I don't care, whatever, been there, done that. This is bizarre. I don't quite understand this, and I don't understand my own feelings right now. So it's just like, I'm just going to go about my business, you know, because I can't process it. I don't think he's able to process this, right?
Yeah.
And he's then life keeps flooding in April, and here we go. And he's got a business to run. He's got a daughter to raise, and he's probably unable to comprehend what has happened really fully.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right on that.
Yeah. All right. So then we have the start of the movie, which we pretty much already talked about this scene.
Cute.
And then
it was very cute.
Richard is sitting in his office at Yale talking on the phone to Emily, which, you know, as we find out 30 seconds later, it's illegal in Connecticut. We see Emily get pulled over. She doesn't want to blow into the breathalyzer.
Oh, my God. Can I say my favorite line? Because it's in this scene.
Of course.
I pulled it up. Where'd it go?
Young man, I don't know where that's been.
No.
But it's certainly not going anywhere near my mouth. Well,
that was absolute certainty. It won't be going anywhere near my mouth. I was obsessed.
That was great. But my favorite line is the police officer says, "You were on a cell phone, ma'am." And she goes, "I don't see how that's your concern. Do my bills go to your office?"
Or certainly guys. Coffee is out or is banned too.
Emily,
oh my God,
stole the whole this episode.
Might have been my favorite scene she's done ever in the show. I will say,
might agree.
It was all the way to unhinged. Jail. It was so unhinged, and it was so great.
All the way from that, all the way to jail, all the way to driving home with them and being like, "Are you
grabbing
on a date?"
Grabbing her.
Are you guys on a date? It's so good. Her hair's all gonna be whack in the convertible.
It was so good.
Somebody also pointed out, is that the same jail that Rory went to for the yacht theft?
Oh yeah, when Lorelai picked her up. I think so.
Because that guy was sitting behind a glass window.
Right.
Yeah.
He was. Oh. Now I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
And Lorelai just taking pictures of everything on her weird
all the guard
or phone or whatever.
That was hilarious.
So funny.
The whole thing was really good.
It, like, made Lorelai's day. Like, if the date didn't do it, this did.
Oh my God, it was so good.
And that just shows that Christopher's timing is just really bad. You know, life is just not agreeing with this relationship.
Yeah. At least for anyone listening,
the dream date is going to get sabotaged by something.
If for nothing, at least people can
something far more entertaining, actually.
can hear a point counterpoint, because at least one of us is trying to find some.
Because don't you think the fans were so pleased with the Emily getting arrested, the phone call that came during that day? Because can we please get out of this most awkward, cringy thing in the history of television and give us something to hang on to?
She nailed it
with Emily greatness, right? I was so appreciative of that. I
sort of like their weird sex talk too. Like when they're talking about why she doesn't want to spend the night, kind of a thing. Remember that? Yeah. In the car, and that's kind of weird and awkward, but it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was a lot to that about her saying like she doesn't trust their relationship. Yeah.
And then I think if you could possibly make that character more unlikable, they accomplished it. Because when he dropped her off, and I think we just mentioned this, he was insecure about, because you know Emily upstaged our date, and it was like, wow, man, are you
that wasn't great. I'm not gonna lie, that part was not great.
To his point, I'm just kind of like, I kind of understand why he's annoyed that they're like in high school.
I think that he was away from the date. Like, it was still a great date. So
and this was just the cherry on top, because he's OG with Lorelai. So the fact that he knows everything and gets to go to jail to pick up Emily, to me, it made the date better, which I think Lorelai felt also.
I agree.
Well, it made the date better for Lorelai. It didn't make the date better for him.
Yeah, but he should have.
He whined about it. It should have, and he should have rolled with it and just had a great time with
it. Exactly. You're right, Scott. Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But again, he's got no game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then it kind of makes an abrupt turn.
Oh, yes, it does.
Emily gets pulled over by the cop, and then it cuts to them at the art show.
So that was, yes, it was abrupt.
It was so weird. Yeah.
What did we think about the art show? Because that made me feel a certain kind of way.
I thought the water cooler part was really weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was, mm-hmm. at first I was like, wait, we know these girls. Like, it took me a second. I'm like, these girls are from somewhere. And then I realize they continue in the season. But
yeah,
that introduction was so weird.
They had to figure out how to get them in there somehow.
The lights.
Right.
I thought it was just weird how, like, it started out like they were pranking her with the water cooler bit. But then they're like, oh my gosh, Paris, we're obsessed with Paris. Like, where did that come from?
Who's ever been obsessed with Paris?
Right.
Yeah, that was weird. That was weird. Friends.
Why? In what way are you obsessed
that
with?
That was weird. And like, it was almost like they wrote it in there to be like, that'll bond her quicker with these girls.
With the audience.
To get her two new friends, because she doesn't have Logan and she needs somebody to talk to in scenes. But I was like, we don't need to know that they even know Paris.
You think they were just putting her on, just saying that because they know she?
No,
know
it's just like weird. Friends. It's like, you know, when you're like trying to bond with somebody,
you just say like whatever they want to hear.
Or something. Yeah, I think, or you like try and find a mutual thing. I don't know. Yeah. I just was unnecessary.
It just felt, because Rory's usually kind of maybe a little introverted and a little shy. Yeah. And
you know what I'm thinking? And I don't know what is to come here in season 7, but maybe those girls were just trying to get in Logan's apartment to get more information on Logan, because they
you know,
both want Logan for themselves. They're going to
sabotage.
That was
my thought too.
Right.
I was like, they're shoplifting. Rory. They're totally
shoplifting.
I totally thought they were. Like, I'm not even kidding. They're going to rob Rory.
Uh-huh. They are.
You guys remember college? In college, you made friends way quicker, especially if you had a bonding, right? Yeah. So like,
you made friends in the bathroom line. Your best friend.
Yeah, somebody could be like, I'm a Kappa. I'm a Pi Phi. Right. Want to go to dinner? Okay. Like, literally, that's how it could go.
Yeah, that's true.
Rory was getting played.
It just
because wait for it.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's
you guys have to just wait, because there's a whole thing a coming.
It did take me a second, though, because I forgot about them altogether.
Don't
tell
me. Yeah. We won't. We're not going
to. No, we won't say anything.
Now I still think they're going to screw over somehow.
They're going to steal his popcorn.
Yeah.
Just know you
popcorn
see.
Popcorn was so messy, though. It did also give me the willies when they're spilling the kernels. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
But just know you see them again.
I had a red flag on that, because I'm sorry, but nobody has owned an air popper since 1986. Why is that in Logan's apartment? I refuse.
Wait, did they say it was a popper from 86?
Well, that's when we used air poppers.
Oh, Suzanne, I hate to tell you this, but I have that exact thing in my kitchen right now.
Yeah, they're kind of cool now.
Yeah, they're a thing.
I'm totally go get mine.
Okay, now, but in 2007, nobody.
I think we've had an air popper. It was like
microwave
that.
Popcorn all the way.
No, because that's
bad for you.
I know a lot of people who've always made their popcorn that way, and they refuse to use microwaves.
Maybe I just have weird friends. I do not know one single person who uses.
Do you guys want to know a sorority trick?
Listen, Jiffy Pop. I have nothing to contribute to the great popcorn debate here.
Jiffy Pop over a fire? Hell yeah.
Hell yes.
Do you guys want to know a sorority trick?
Hmm.
Okay, so in the sorority, there's like a kitchen, but you can't just like go into it and open the refrigerator. You're not allowed. So it's like locked. So this is at least in mine. There's a little kitchen, and in it, there was apples, bananas, peanut butter, bread, and popcorn. So you take a brown lunch sack, put the kernels in there, roll it up, pop that in the microwave. Perfect bag of popcorn. Yep.
Well, there you go.
And then you salt it. I don't think we had butter. Anyway, I digress, but I do have an air popper literally just like that one.
Okay.
I don't have that gourmet popcorn that she was spilling everywhere.
I never used an air popper. Never.
How do you make your popcorn now?
I don't. We don't. We just buy it in bags.
Oh, like it. You get it like
the Trader Joe's ready.
Yeah.
Molly Stone's has that.
I don't even know if Jiffy Pop's available anymore.
I hope it is. With that,
it's still around because I was trying to explain it to my kids a couple months ago, and it is still.
And it's probably with my grandparents. That was the stuff you shook over the stove.
Oh, it's so brilliant. It's so good. But the thing is, it's like the popcorn.
Oh, it's on Amazon.
Expand the waistline.
That's probably from that long ago. On Amazon, someone's had it in their garage.
They're
waiting for the zombie apocalypse to need that.
Right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name is Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we did the art show, and then so Chris and Lorelai finished their date. She gets the phone call. Then we cut to Luke's apartment. April's going to bed. She's reading her biology textbook.
Cute. That was cute. Fun. Very cute.
That was when they had that cute little moment about he's going to take care of her. Then we go. Okay, so this scene was hilarious. The jail scene when they're picking her up, and Emily was like, "Thank you for giving me my belongings that I already owned."
Oh yes.
We forgot one thing. When they were at Luke's apartment, April says she knows that they broke up and that her mom told her. I thought that was a nugget that, like, oh, Anna.
Her mom told her. Her mom didn't say, "I caused it."
Yeah.
Touche.
Yeah. And you wonder, like, how she told her. Like, was it like a gossipy kind of way?
I feel like it was honey. You know how April and Anna have that such mother-daughtery thing? So Anna probably felt obligated. Honey, I know you're going to go see your dad. Just so you know, he's broken up with Lorelai. Don't bring it up. You know, I'm sure she did it as some mother-daughter teaching moment or something.
Maybe. I hope so. I mean, I feel like she could have been a little gloaty about it. But I
think she's not the type. I don't know. I feel like she's everything's about being the mom. But I could be wrong on that. There might have been a little bit of a gloat, too.
So then we get to the scene where Rory arrives at the apartment with Lucy and Olivia. And they're all like, wow. And then Logan calls and she kind of blows him off. So this made me think, because it was Logan calls and he's already at work. So it must have been like two or three in the morning.
I thought, so what did we decide? London is 8 hours later. I think he could have been midnight and it's 8 a.m. there.
It's 5 hours because
they're 5 hours from the East Coast. That's right. So it must be 2 a.m. 3.
Yeah. So they're at 2 a.m. 2 or 3 in the morning, which, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, that's very collegey. We stayed up late.
Well, she was drunk, right? That's safe to
assume. They were all kind of tipsy.
Yeah, they must have gone somewhere after the art show, because the art show wouldn't still be open.
Yeah, probably to that pub.
Probably went and had a few drinks and
came back to the apartment.
I'm happy for Rory that she did that.
And that she has some friends.
She needed to have some fun. She was just like,
and not just wait around the phone the whole time.
Yeah,
right. Like, because the past couple episodes have been like slogging through quicksand with her. Like, she's just looping around, and you know, misses Logan and doesn't know what to do. And so I liked this episode because it kind of got her back in the saddle again.
I feel like the episodes prior, she felt trapped because her boyfriend was in a different country and she couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And now she's like back in a routine with school and actually meeting new people.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's living a little bit more of a normal sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
So then we,
I didn't hate any of it. I didn't hate it.
Yeah. And then, so then we kind of already talked about this scene too. We're back on the porch at Lorelai's house.
Yeah. And this is where I felt a little chemistry. Even though he was annoying.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to discuss is in the car when they're at the date, she was telling him she doesn't trust them yet. She wants to go slow and just kind of keep it where it is for now. And he's like, okay, I can wait. I can wait. And then they're back on the front porch and she's like, oh, do you want to come in? It's like, no, Lorelai.
No, but he was, she said, do you want to come in? Because guess what? We know what that means.
I literally rolled my eyes at the end of the episode.
She wasn't ready for that. So now
she changed her mind after they had such a great time.
That's what's annoying.
Yeah.
It is annoying, right? Because Christopher's like a single cell organism. Like, he just, you have to be direct with him. And you can't keep sending him these mixed messages.
But that's why I can't blame him in this episode. I truly cannot blame him. He's just following Lorelai's lead. If I'm being completely honest, he's just following her
lead.
Which
is exactly his problem.
Yeah. I mean, I just was aggravated with her in this scene. I agree that it you know, Christopher is just going to follow what she does. Mm-hmm. So if she says come in, he's not ever going to say no.
Yeah. Right.
So I was annoyed with her.
The puppy dog was like, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah. Oh, but then let's go do this.
Yeah, Suzanne, I'm with you. It was just
puppy dog runs in and gets the treats.
I mean, I literally rolled my eyes at the end of this episode. I was like, really? Like,
yeah. again, like for the third time.
Are we going to end, again? Are we gonna end the episode the same way for the fourth time in a row? Like, you know, it's just always like, ugh.
Puppy dog has the popcorn ready. Puppy
and
dog.
Here's the outlier. Not an
puppy
idiot.
Dog goes, Emily upstage.
I love Scott, the puppy dog. I didn't hate it. We spoke briefly about it, but the scenes with Emily, I've said it 20 times, were amazing. I love getting her picked up at jail, the whole thing. Are you on a date? Like the whole thing.
That was the highlight for sure.
Yeah.
So,
all right, let's wrap this bear up.
Hmm? I'm scared. Who should go? Should I go first or last with my rating?
Well, I think you should go first.
Anyway, all right.
Go ahead. Go lead us off.
9.3.
Wow.
Oof. Red vines.
Jeez.
9.3 red
vines. Tara, what are you giving it?
Emily really redeemed this episode for me, so I will give it a 7.5 water coolers.
Wow. Tara, Danielle.
8.2 egg bagels.
Sounds good.
Suzanne.
That sound good.
I'm gonna give it, so this was an interesting episode because it really set up a lot of storylines to fan out from here for the rest of the season. So structurally, I appreciated that. I'm going to give it a 7.3 packs of socks from Target.
Oh, good.
That's a good one.
I forgot about the socks. Good one.
I've already said what I'm going to say about this episode. I've been consistent in my dislike of season 7. I've been scoring shows zeros and then another zero, and then I think I gave half a point last week, didn't I, or something like that. I'm gonna give this, just for the cringe worthiness, I'm gonna deduct several points, but there were some strong points as well. So I'm really gonna go out on a limb here and give it like a 3.72.
It's a jump from the last four, three.
Hartford police citations.
Good one.
Oh my God.
And
I will say that, I don't know if this is mean, but I think this episode was a tad better because we didn't have the Lane storyline.
I agree. I agree with that. That's a good point.
Yeah, it made it a tad bit better.
Yeah.
Give me Richard and Emily every single time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Over everyone.
Well, I wouldn't go.
Well, back. Not everyone, but I mean, these storylines we're having, like.
Right. I think it's always a fuller show with them.
Yeah. They round the show out.
I mean, I think they're, you know, the central core of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you got to have them. Anyway, thanks, everybody. So next episode is what? Season 7, episode 5, The Great Stink. And appreciate the downloads. Keep the cards and letters coming. We love you guys. Best fans on the planet. We will see you next time. Stay safe. Forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
Ah, summer, the best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, They have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circle card.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.